I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. Different kind of sports show. And you'll find out. You can email us at sportsfred@AOL.com. We're heard on Sirius 217, XM 203, all those apps. Sports Byline, Sports Map, radio stations like KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas. And, of course, American Forces, guys and gals, you stay healthy. The guys will be with us. Mark Mancini, the World's Worst Sports Handicap, Art Source from Galaxy Sports in Pennsylvania. Author Curtis Stock has written a very interesting book, The Turcarts, the remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes with Curtis. Barron Sports Trivia, of course, every time right here on Sports Overnight America. Should the NBA be more or less political? On one side, well, we've got San Antonio's coach, Greg Popovich, who's political about everything. On the other side, you got Phil Jackson, who indicates that he's not watching the NBA anymore. It's too political for him. Let me just state this. My favorite athlete of all time was Muhammad Ali, not because of what he did in the ring, what he did outside the ring. He put his career in jeopardy, put his life in jeopardy many times. He took the stand for everybody else who didn't have millions of dollars. So I'm certainly on, you know what side I'm on, this versus Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. I'm on Greg's side, of course, but you can email us at sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. Also political, you know, the Olympic Games in Paris, a little bit more than a year away right now. Should the Russians be allowed in after what they're doing to the Ukraine? Here's what I think. I think the Russian athletes should be allowed in, but not under the Russian flag. I don't think you can give Putin any credit for anything. And if they win and you got the Russian flag up there and hooray, 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 and more people will be on Putin's side. So I think the athletes should have every right to compete. I just don't think they should compete under the Russian flag. Agree, disagree, love to hear from you. SportsFred@AO.com, SportsFred@AO.com. You know, one guy who's got to be very, very upset right about now is Dodger general manager Andrew Friedman and Stan Kasten, his boss. They let Cody Bellinger go to the Cubs, and he is driving the Dodgers crazy. I love it. How about you? Email us, sportsfred@AO.com, sportsfred@AO.com. We'll come back with the guys, Curtis Stock, too, all straight away on Sports Overnight America.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaw's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and figure out what is it going to take.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaws have the tools to DIY all day long. Run with us on a 1 Series tractor and start telling your story. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $134 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Scott for Scots here. You ever want to grow new grass faster? Kind of like when you press the 2x playback button on your podcast so you can speed through episodes. Except at Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass, you're speeding your way from a thin and damaged lawn to a thicker, stronger one in just weeks. Bit too fast, maybe slow it
down, okay. Let's just go back to normal speed.
Get a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Rapid Grass today. It grows grass 2x faster than seed alone when applied at the new lawn rate, subject to proper care.
Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa. That's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 4/15. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome to Sports Overnight America. The guys are now with us. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper, Art Source from Galaxy Sports, former kicker for the Rams and the USC Trojans. Later, we'll talk to Curtis Stock. He's written an interesting book indeed, The Turcotts, Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty. Ron Turcott, Secretary, you know that story, but there's a whole lot more. Firefly Books, and we'll talk to Curtis a little later on the show. Meanwhile, we open talking about sports and politics, and this show has talked sports and politics like forever. And now we've got a former NBA coach, Phil Jackson, saying the NBA is too political. And of course, you've got coaches like Greg Popovich, who everything is political. You know what side I lean on. Mark, the NBA, you think it's too political or not political enough? What do you think, Mark?
Well, I when you look at what Phil Jackson's saying, you know, he's bringing up some interesting things there. And for me, I haven't watched 1 minute of the Minnesota Denver series, and I can care less who wins it, and I'll read about it tomorrow in the paper or whatever. But the NBA's changed, Fred. They don't play defense. One, it could be a little political. I mean, the players are different than the players that we kind of watched and grew up with. Bird and Magic saved the game. I mean, I look at guys like Durant and I'm saying to myself, this guy would rather look at his checkbook than rather, you know, score 40 points.
Okay, so let me interrupt you. Yeah. You're saying you're not watching it because they don't play defense and things like that. You're not watching it because of anything political.
Well, I think politics plays to a certain extent because I think, you know, we can leave politics out of it and play the game and everybody cares and stuff. There's a lot of guys in this league today that really don't play the game like the guys of the 70s and 80s, possibly the 90s. You can't tell me Durant plays the game like a Larry Bird or a Magic Johnson does. You know,
right,
a Kyrie Irving.
Go ahead.
Mark, the game has evolved, though. And I'm not saying it's evolved in the right direction. But what I will say is these guys are tremendous athletes nowadays. But I'll tell you what is missing in the National Basketball Association.
What?
Teamwork. Teamwork, you know, running offenses. When they kind of brought the zone defense back in away from the man-to-man defense, that's when you started to see the lack of defense start to rear its ugly head. But politically, Fred, to get back to what you're talking about, you know, they kind of sold their soul to China. And I got to say, that goes right in line with our country. we kind of sold our soul to China too. Everything that's manufactured, from our pharmaceuticals to computer chips to whatever you want to talk about, basically our supply side from China. Now, we've noticed in the last few years that the Chinese wanted to basically take us out, okay? Now we have a president that a lot of people are saying is beholden to the red Chinese. So there's your political aspirations. You look at guys like Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, far left, very, very progressive Democrats. You look at a Phil Jackson on the other side of the spectrum. So there's where your comparison kind of rolls itself into each other.
Yeah, but I don't see anybody other than once in a while Kerr speaking up about something, or certainly Greg Popovich once in a while speaking up about something. I don't see the players.
Greg Popovich's name in the last 5 years if it wasn't for politics, Fred.
Okay, but
what have they done in San Antonio?
But that has
in the last 5 years.
But that has nothing to do with people not watching it.
Because well, I think it does, Fred.
Fred. Wait a minute, because the San Antonio coach is on the left side politically.
People don't watch
the NBA.
I'm saying that half the audience, those 80 million people that you always rail on, Fred, who happen to vote for a guy with orange hair,
right?
Okay, they do have something to say. These are not meek human beings.
Right.
These are conservative, downright Americans, just like the left is as well.
Right.
But what happens is when you fracture a society, when you pit A against B, B against A, they take sides. And basketball, the NBA happens to be one of those points.
But again, if the Lakers are playing the Clippers, what does that have to do with what
Greg What about Popper LeBron? Said? What about LeBron's
Okay, views? Well, here's my point. And I'd say when I did the opening, Muhammad Ali was my biggest hero in sports because he fought for everybody. We need these guys who are making $50 million a year.
You think the NBA is fighting for both sides, Fred? Honest to God.
No, I don't care what side. I think they got to fight.
But you just said that Muhammad Ali fought for both sides.
He fought
for equality. He fought for rights, for human rights. I don't see that quite happening in the national basketball.
Not only that, guys, if you want to spin this, you can't tell me that the NBA is on the same wavelength as Major League Baseball, because I don't see any of the players in Major League Baseball acting like NBA players.
In what way?
I mean, with guys, hey, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. They can rap on Manny Machado for whatever they want, but Manny Machado was a team leader when Tatis went down.
And he also goes to schools and talks to kids. He's a role model. How many NBA guys are role models? You have guys like Charles Barkley who say, no, I'm not a role model. I'm a basketball player. Well, you know what? If you're in the public, you know, public light as much as he is, be a gentleman. And you know what? The NBA doesn't have a lot of guys like that.
All right, let me just say this. I think the reason NBA ratings are down and NBA attendance is down is not because of politics. I believe, in my opinion, it's because, as Mark indicated, that nobody plays any defense, and there isn't enough team play. That's part of it also. I don't think it's political. I think Phil Jackson is way off base. I don't think one out of 10 people, may worry about the politics. I just think they don't like the game as much for obvious reasons. The All-Star game's a joke, but I don't think it's really political. I think other reasons have turned people off to the national.
Are you 100% right in everything you think?
No.
Neither am I.
So I mean, no. But the point.
Well, let me ask you, Fred. If I had a choice for Phil Jackson to turn around a team or Greg Popovich, I'm going to cook my sails to Phil Jackson. I mean, because what he's done.
11 NBA titles.
I mean, it's simply amazing.
And Greg's not a good coach.
No, he's an excellent coach.
Okay.
But I think the game may have.
Well, I'd take Pat Riley over Greg Popovich any day of the week.
But that doesn't mean he's wrong politically. That doesn't have to do with it. And I don't think people.
Does that make him right politically?
I'm saying I want athletes to speak up.
Do you want him to be a basketball coach? Or do you want him to be a political satirist?
Both. Really? I want him to speak up about things that he believes are important.
God bless you, Fred.
And if there's a right-wing coach out there, speak up for what you believe to be true.
But my I think Thibodeau does.
Right, once in a while. But again, one more time, I don't think that's the reason the NBA is down cycle right now as far as ratings and attendance. Folks, agree, disagree. We'd love your input. SportsFred@AOL.com, SportsFred@AOL.com.
By the way, there's a big triple header tonight in the playoffs, folks. And we want to make sure that everybody knows that we don't hate the NBA. There's some great people in the NBA. And Thursday, I mean, they've been playing some good basketball.
On Thursday night, the Clippers play without their top two players, played about as well as you can against the Phoenix Suns. You got Norman Powell from UCLA doing magic. You got Russell Westbrook from UCLA doing magic. Up north, you got Looney from UCLA, 20 rebounds. I mean, so the end is on Thursday night. So there's still something to watch. It's not the same as it was. I agree with you. Email us, sportsfredadale.com, sportsfredadale.com. Sticking to the politics of all this, the Paris Olympics, so what, June or July of 2024, should the Russians be allowed to compete under the Russian flag? Art Source, agree or disagree?
You know, I like your theory on that one, Fred. I just don't think you want to give Putin the kind of publicity that he's going to get from that. I say, you know, the Russian Federation can put their athletes in there. My big question is, what about Ukraine? What if it comes down to a, you know, a wrestling match between Ukraine and Russia? That's going to get unbelievable ratings. And, you know, so, I mean, part of it is, and, you know, and let's talk about France for a while. You want to get political here. You know, Macron goes to Beijing and he's palling around with G, and I'm like trying to figure out, wait a minute, isn't the Statue of Liberty a gift from the French people to the Americans, talking about liberty and freedom? Yeah. And yet a French leader is basically taking sides on behalf of the European Union with Russia. What's really going on there?
Hey, let me just tell you something for folks that don't, or maybe you're young or whatever the case might be. The Germans were not allowed in the 48 Olympics. South Africa, because of apartheid, were not allowed for four or five Olympic Games. So it's been done before. I don't think the IOC will have the guts to do the right thing. Zelensky's already said, if the Russian flag is there, we're not going. So basically, they'll be picking sides, the Russians against the Ukrainians. I don't think that's a smart move, but I don't think the IOC at this point, all they care about is money, and the Russians.
Let's go back down to COVID-19, which we had to deal with for 2 years. You know, now they're saying, everybody's starting to say 95% of it came out of Wuhan. And now, are we going to do anything to the Chinese, or are they just going to get to roll on after a billion people basically die from COVID-19?
I thought it came out of Mar-a-Lago. Come back with more on Sports Overnight America right after this.
Attention small business owners. The IRS has just released a notice that businesses eligible to file for the Employee Retention Credit should not file with companies charging a percentage of their ERC refund. These companies have been shown to overqualify businesses, leaving the business owner open to audits and tax penalties. ERTCfiling.com helps small business owners file their Employee Retention Credit forms accurately and at a cost that is a fraction of their competitors. And most importantly, ERTCfiling.com charges a flat fee, not a percentage of what you get back. So there's never a worry about overqualification. Businesses that were open in 2020 and 2021 and subject to any COVID government mandate, such as a capacity limitation, social distancing, supply chain issues, and increased vendor costs, will qualify. You do not need to have a reduction in revenue to qualify for this program. Stop any work you're doing with your current Employee Retention Credit provider and call 833-GET-ERTC or go to ERTCfiling.com to schedule your free 30-minute consultation today.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845.
800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Overnight America. The guys again with us, Mark Mancini, the World War Sports Handicapper, Art Source, at 126 years of age. The Turcotts, remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty with the author Curtis Stock. But Art, at 126 years of age, every night we do this show, you take a different medicinal legal pill or medicine or whatever. What are you taking this evening?
Well, I want to keep the brain lubricated. And so we've got ProFocus, we've got Focus Factor, we've got Prevagen. Boy, we've got to get these guys as sponsors to the show because we're on late night, Fred. And late night, I have to stay up. So, I mean, I need everything I can. But the Awaken is wonderful for me on Friday and Saturday and Sunday nights. So I kind of keep that for 3 days a week. But I will say, you know, a lot of people overlook things when they're diet. And one of the things is, you know, with all the things that are going on in the world with Alzheimer's, you want to make sure that that brain stays healthy.
No question about that. We play Barron Sports Trivia, started by my cousins Andy and Lisa Barron. And let's start with the World War Sports Handicapper, Mr. Mark Mancini. 1973, opening day, Mark. Who was the Red Sox DH and the second DH in history, a Hall of Famer? Now, we all know Ron Blumberg was the first DH in history. Who was the second? This was for the Red Sox, and he was a Hall of Famer, became a Hall of Famer. Who might that have been, Mark Mancini?
It wasn't Butch Hobson, so it had to be Carl Yastrzemski.
Carl Yastrzemski, who came up in 1960. That card is worth a lot of money. You have a rookie Carl Yastrzemski card. Art Source, Mark, the World War Sports Handicapper, indicates that it's Carl Yastrzemski as the second DH in the history of baseball. But, Mark, let me just interrupt. He was a pretty good defender, defensive guy, so I don't think they would have made him the DH. But you could be right. I'm not going to argue with you. Art Source, is Mark right or wrong?
I like the guess, but your point is well taken, Fred. I mean, you know, Carl, number eight, was pretty incredible on defense in left field.
Let me give you a hint.
73. Go ahead. Throw one out there.
First baseman.
I'm going to go with. Oh, wow.
Played most of his career in the National League.
Oh.
With the San Francisco Giants.
Okay, I guess I'm going to have to jump out there and say Willie McCovey?
Yeah.
Right-handed hitter.
Oh, right-handed hitter, first baseman for the Giants. You got me, Fred.
Orlando Cepeda.
Cepeda.
Was the first DH for the Boston Red Sox and the second in the history of baseball.
And he had one leg shorter than the other leg, but boy, yes. Could he rake.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. You know what I think about Rob Manfred? I think he's destroyed the game. And now he's come up with something that I can't even believe he would even come up with. He's got some minor leagues now. You ready for this? Pinch running for hitters, and the hitter can stay in the game. So you have you get a track guy who's never played baseball in his life to steal second and third base.
Herb Washington
for the A's. And now, Art, tell me the truth. Is that the dumbest idea? He's made some dumb ideas.
The only dumber idea than that, Fred, is putting a runner in second base in extra innings. That just drives me crazy.
Mark, what do you think about Rob Manfred's latest brilliant idea? pinch runners that can stay, that and the hitter that you replaced can stay in the game.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Manfred. You know that. I mean, give me back Uberoth. Give me back Bowie Kuhn. Give me back those two guys. But yeah, the changes are, even when you talk to the former players, they're scratching their head as well on the rule changes and everything. I remember talking to Bill Madlock, and he told me putting a guy at second base in the late innings is like playing girls softball.
Yeah. And, but don't make fun of that. Believe me, I learned to play the game. You know, the Culver City Comets taught me to play the game. Go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I got to tell you this. Women's softball in college, these SEC stadiums and UCLA and Oklahoma, they play a really great brand of ball. And, I mean, it's exciting to watch.
I'm 6 and 7 years of age. I walk home from school, have something to eat. I was like a block away from the park, Blanco Park in Culver City, California. And we practice as youngsters between like 3:30 and 5. And at 5:30 for a couple of years, the Culver City Comets, one of the great women's softball teams of the late 50s, were there. I became like, I don't know, their cult figure. I got the when they practiced, they put me in right field.
You were the best. I get to
play with them. And I learned to play baseball because, folks, you know, you pitch underhand, and at that point, I think it was 43 feet, not 45 feet, pitcher to home plate. It was unbelievable. But I actually learned, the Culver City Comets taught me to play baseball, and I wasn't a bad baseball player. So I don't put down women's softball at all. All right, Barron Sports Trivia. In 1973, Artsource, 50 years ago, there were 5 no-hitters in baseball, but only 1 in the National League. Who was that hurler? The only National League no-hitter in 1973.
Two choices, Steve Carlson or Bob Gibson. Who is it? Oh, that's a tough one.
Which one do you go with?
I'm going to go with Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson, 1959 rookie, of course. Now it's 1973. Near the end of
I might have
career.
To go with Steve Carlson.
Can I give that away? Mark Mancini. Who threw the only no-hitter 50 years ago in the National League? I'll give you a hint.
Wait a minute. Don't give me the hint. It was in the 73 season, or was it in the – because if it was 76, it would have been the Candyman throwing it against you guys.
It was 73.
I'm gonna have to go with Carlton, too. Man, where's Warren Brewster when I need him?
All right. Both wrong, of course. He had a brother who also pitched.
Oh, Gaylord Perry.
He had a brother who almost pitched, who also pitched. Somebody else.
No, Gaylord Perry.
The Forshes.
Bob Forsh, Ken Forsh? Yeah,
yeah. Knuckleball pitcher.
Phil Negro. Oh,
well, Phil
Negro.
Phil Negro
on the 14th guest. Congratulations,
Nuxie threw a no-hitter.
Yeah, no-hitter. Wow.
That knuckleball must have been dancing that
Who did he throw that against?
I don't remember.
Padres.
But it was 50. I think it was the Padres. Okay.
I think they're the only team in the league up to date, maybe, that hasn't thrown a no-hitter in their club history.
Mike Musgrove.
They threw five.
Yeah, well, that was till Musgrove did it. But up until then, that was it.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Seattle Mariners never been in the World Series.
Folks, can you answer the questions? Email us, sportsfred@ao.com, sportsfred@ao.com. Of course, 50 years ago, April 15th, Jackie Robinson, first time for an African-American in a long time in Major League Baseball, 1947, April 15th. The Dodgers actually traded him after the 55 season. Who'd they trade him to? Who'd they trade Jackie Robinson to, Mark Mancini?
Well, I'd have to say...
He retired, so he never played for him. But who did he trade?
I would let me throw it out there. I'd say the Chicago Cubs. But the follow up when Artie gets a choice on this, I just found out the other day, Fred. I can't believe the Dodgers, with all their rich history, haven't had a 300 game winner in their organization.
Nope.
Don Sutton. Yeah.
And Kirk Drysdale had 209 wins, which is second on the list.
And Koufax, of course, retired after 66. All right. So, Art Source.
We're back in 73, right, Fred?
Yeah. No. Jackie Robinson.
Oh, 55.
Jackie Robinson was traded after them, the World War Series of that year. Which team did they trade him to? We never played and retired. So which team did
Well, we know it wasn't the Red Sox. I'm just joking. I'm going
to was making a political point there for the folks who don't know about Boston. Go ahead, Arnie.
I'm going to have to go with
what would be the most
I'm thinking, where did Branch Rickey go? That's what I'm thinking.
Pittsburgh.
So I'm going to go with Chicago. I'm going to go with they traded him to the Cubs.
Which team would be the most outrageous to trade him?
Yankees.
In the National League.
Oh, in the National League?
St. Louis?
If you're the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Oh, you're the New York Giants.
Oh, Giants.
New York Giants. Okay, they never played. Okay. Our final Barron sports trivia for this program. In 1973, again, 50 years ago this year, two future Hall of Famers won the Gold Glove Awards for pitching in the National League and the American League. Who were these two pitchers?
Fish Hunter in the American League.
Oh, and I got these.
1973. You wait a minute. Hang on. It's Art's turn first. Art, who is?
Yeah.
Who are these two guys? Both Hall of Famers.
I'm going to go with Catfish Hunter in the American League. In the National League, 73.
Oh, Oakland gosh.
A's were good. The Mets. Tom Seaver and Catfish Hunter is my call.
You stole my thunder.
Mark, who is it?
That's the exact same two I was going on that, Seaver and Hunter.
Oh, you're wrong about both.
I kicked the golden sombrero.
That was a 73 World Series.
Let me give you a hint here. One of the guys was just elected into the Hall of Fame. Boy, the other guy played for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay, so we have Bob Gibson as one.
Right.
The other one was just elected into the Hall of Fame.
The other one's
going to
be a former Oriole.
Oh, it's Jim, maybe Jim Palmer?
He wouldn't be elected a long, long time ago.
Oh, that's a good point.
Thank you.
Not Steve Stone.
Steve Stone.
Give us one more hint, Fred.
Lefty.
He's played for Minnesota. Lefty that just...
Played for the Yankees.
Jim Cott.
Take a break. We'll come back with Curtis Stock, the Turcotte's remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty, Ron Turcotte, and all his brothers who became jockeys also. Back with more on Sports Overnight America. Right.
Zero emissions goals are driving automakers and consumers to accelerate the shift to electric vehicles, EV. But roadblocks still exist to allow for their transition. Recent data from the IBM Institute for Business Value found that 50% of surveyed customers are considering getting an EV in the next 3 years. However, only 13% of industry executives anticipate that their countries will be ready to support the EV fleet by 2030. Key factors such as public charge point availability, reliability, EV and energy costs, and network connectivity are impacting EV adoption. Moreover, none of the executives surveyed believed that standard cars will be sold after 2040. Jonathan Wright, Global Managing Partner, IBM Consulting.
Our survey shows that a significant transition is going to happen by 2040, but it will require a sustainable power grid that can meet and exceed the expected demands. It'll take an ecosystem of companies across industries, governments, and other stakeholders for EV to really take hold. So the time for action is absolutely now.
To learn more, visit ibm.com/sustainable-mobility, sponsored by IBM.
This report is sponsored by Boehringer Ingelheim.
I'm Bernie Williams, and I lost my dad to idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, one of the most common forms of interstitial lung disease, an umbrella term for over 200 rare conditions that can cause scarring of the lungs and may make it difficult to breathe. My dad was my hero. He was the one to introduce me to music, and it is something that helps me feel connected to him even today. Music was always something that helped me cope as a caregiver. Writing a song to honor my father and his own journey with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis was a way to put my feelings down on paper, and I know so many people can relate. Check out Tune Into Lung Health to hear more about what living with interstitial lung disease really means and the important role that music can play in helping to cope with this disease. You will find a series of vocal and breathing exercises, playlists, and some of my favorite tunes, and personal stories from people who have been affected by interstitial lung disease. Visit TuneIntoLungHealth.com to learn more.
I saw the sign, it opened up my eyes. I saw the
dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
Ends 4/15. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@AOL.com, sportsfred@AOL.com. So at the age of six, my mom and dad took me to Hollywood Park here in California. And I was really a math guy. My dad's a math guy. So I just loved the horse racing. And I had until 20, 25 years ago when you discover that some of the horses aren't treated so kindly. But as far as horse racing is concerned, what happened 50 years ago? Well, Secretariat won by 31 lengths at the Belmont Stakes. And when you talk about Secretariat and you talk about his jockey, Ron Turcotte, you remember that. And you probably remember he was paralyzed a few years later in a race. But there's so much more about the Turcotte family. And the author of a brand new book now with us, Curtis Stock, The Turcotte's Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty, published by Firefly Books. You can get it at major bookstores everywhere. Curtis, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Ron Turcotte definitely came from a most remarkable family.
Yeah.
Poor, up in Canada, out in the woods. You know, when I read your book, I thought of the Waltons, the TV show, where they never knew how poor they were. They just kept going and going and going. And they certainly, and the Turcotte certainly kept going. Talk about the Turcotte family and the mom who was unbelievable and the dad. Talk about that.
Well, there was a family of 14 kids, and they lived in Drummond, which has a population of only 700 in New Brunswick. And Ron was the first one to leave the forests and the trees to go to Toronto to try to make a better living. And when he got to Toronto, the only job that he and his best friend, Reg Pelche, could find was picking worms at golf courses and cemeteries, and they'd get $3 for 1,000 worms. So that wasn't working very good. And then,
hang on 1 second. Tell us the story though. He's a 125 pound guy.
Yeah. 128.
And they tell him, you got to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah.
How the heck does a 125 year old guy have to get down to 105 because you get the bug allowance, which means you can ride with fewer pounds than the veteran jockeys.
Peanuts a day.
How do you get down from 125, yeah, Curtis, to 105? How do you do that?
I don't know how they do it, but they do it, and they do it every day just about. Ron was the lucky one, in the Turcotte family. He didn't have to reduce his heart, but he did have to lose that 13, 14 pounds right at the beginning, which was very difficult. They spend, you know, hours and hours in saunas and steam baths and riding in their cars with several layers of clothing with the heat turned up as high as it'll go, and using diuretics like Lasix and whatever they can to get rid of all the water.
So Artie, you have some questions for Curtis?
Yeah, not only the horses are on Lasix, but the jockeys are too.
Yeah, it's true.
We're all excited about the Kentucky Derby coming up on May 1st, a tradition like no other in sports. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, when you think of Secretariat, and I've read a lot about Secretariat and the Turcotte's, and what a great book you have written there, Curtis, I must say. But will you explain just what kind of a phenom in terms of athletes that the horse Secretariat was? I heard that when they did the autopsy, Secretariat's horse heart was almost twice the size of most racehorses.
Yeah, that's true. The autopsy showed that his heart was twice the size of an average horse's heart. And that obviously was a reason that gave him so much more oxygen.
Amazing story.
We're talking to Curtis Stock. The book is The Turcotte's Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty. Mark, take it away.
Well, there's a couple of things I like. You know, in the Kentucky Derbies, Curtis, I'm not a big favorite type of guy. I like those 18 to 1, 20 to 1 horses, and they usually, you know, come through.
They come through?
Well, I mean, sometimes whether they might not win it, but they, you know, show or place sometimes, you know, but take us through, you know, what are the nice 20 to ones if somebody's going to lay some money down on that thing, the long shots,
some of the fringe horses in this year's race.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. And tell us a little bit, Bob Baffert. I'm a big Bob Baffert guy. I like the guy. I think he's flamboyant, you know, in more ways than one. And I think he's good for the sport, but a lot of people don't like him.
He lies. Yeah. You like liars?
Well, I'm just saying for the what he's
done.
Are we
talking politics now?
He cheats. He cheats. You like cheaters, Mark? Curtis, well, let's go back to the book. The Turcotte's, the remarkable story of the horse racing dynasty. The average age right now of a fan of horse racing is somewhere between 50 and 60.
Yeah.
Is the sport going to die? Tell us your opinion.
Well, it's certainly losing its appeal in a lot of places, but in some other places it's still going very strong, like in New York and California. Toronto is very big. Gulfstream in Florida is very big, but a lot of the smaller tracks are seeing a big decrease in handle. I know here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, where I live, in the 1970s, they used to bet $1 million every Saturday on track. And that was, you know, without any simulcast wagering of any sort, $1 million every Saturday. Right. And now they don't bet $240,000, all sources combined.
Unbelievable. I got a story to say. My grandfather and grandmother came from the Ukraine, and he loved horse racing, my grandfather. However, and they moved to Detroit. However, he could not read the racing form. He couldn't read English. So he had to grab my mom, and she was the youngest daughter of five kids, and they'd go over the bridge to Canada to wager, to go to the horse racing. And so my mom was a big horse racing nut at a very young age. And that's why she took, and my dad and I went with her to Hollywood Park. But I don't think a lot of people realize Canada has so many racetracks.
Yeah, there's a lot of racetracks. I mean, there's two in Alberta. Well, there's three, I guess. There's one in Lacombe, too. But Edmonton and Calgary both have tracks. BC has two tracks. Toronto has Fort Erie and Woodbine and Mohawk for the harness.
Now in Canada, are there horses that run better in the cold weather than the warm weather?
I don't know. It's because it's cold here all the time.
Hey, let me ask you something, Curtis. If they do a movie on the 1980 Edmonton Oilers, you could probably play Glenn Sather real darn good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
That was some good years of hockey.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about Ron Turcotte. When he first started in your book, yeah, they talk about the fact that he wanted to run on the outside around the far turn. And they had to sort of get him to where you don't always have to be on the outside. Obviously, you're running longer if you're running on the outside around the turn. Talk about Ron Turcotte and how he changed into what he became, one of the great jockeys of all time.
Well, Ronnie was a good rider right from the start, although his first year he only rode in 14 races. But 2 years after he came out of the woods and never sat in the saddle before, he was Canada's leading rider, which he repeated the following year, and then he went to the States.
And people don't realize that his brothers all became fine jockeys in their own right. I think he said $60 million they made over their
careers.
Yeah,
over $60 million, yeah. 8,000 races and $60 million in purses for Ron and Rudy and Roger and Noel and Eves.
But they had trouble. Some of them would be drinking too much and things like that. Talk about that, the problems that they had as jockeys, as human beings, as they grew up.
Well, Ron, as you mentioned, was injured in 1978 in New York in a terrible spill where he broke his back and was paralyzed from the waist down and lives in a wheelchair. And Rudy, he ended up dying of alcoholism. Roger and Noel both took their lives. And he's the last brother to ride. He got hurt in 1999 in another accident and had a fractured skull and three brain bleeds. So they told him he couldn't ride either. So all five of them had bad things happen.
Art,
you know what? Curtis, everybody likes Lafayette Penkai. My guy was Delahoussaye.
Yeah.
Eddie Delahoussaye.
Yeah. Any thought or on his career and everything? Because I thought he was one hell of a jockey.
Well, he was. I've never really gone into his background very much, but Eddie was a good jockey. There's no question about that.
Curtis, you talk about Secretariat. The year before, Ron Turcotte was on a fine horse also, River Ridge. And people right. seem to forget that. I mean, he certainly has ridden some great – name some other horses that people might know the name of that Ron Turcotte rode on.
Shuvi, Fort Marcy, Northern Dancer.
Northern Dancer.
Yeah, he rode him as a two-year-old. He didn't ride him as a three-year-old, but he rode Northern Dancer, and he rode just about all the good horses that were around at that time.
How tough is it? You're a jockey, and the owner says to himself, let's say you finished fourth in a race, you should have won, the owner thinks. How tough is it? I mean, it's a tough job being a jockey because – an owner can get rid of you by snapping his fingers. A trainer can get rid of you by snapping his fingers. Discuss that.
Well, if the owner is upset, then he's going to blame the trainer. And the trainer's got to find somebody else to blame. So he blames the jockey. And the jockey blames his agent.
And that sounds like it sounds like the rest of sports.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Curtis,
wow.
It's hard to keep going because, I mean, especially like when – after a jockey loses his bug, his apprentice, it's hard to find those mounts again. And that's what happened to Noel and Rudy at the start. They were riding horses all the time. And Roger was North America's leading apprentice rider in 1975, and he couldn't buy a mount the next year.
Let me ask you, decades from now, this sport, where do you see it going? Is it going to going to be just a lost tradition, or is it just going to keep on picking up? I know the Kentucky Derby's big and Belmont and all that, but for the average racing fan to really support this, where do you see this going in the next decade? How do you more or less recruit people to really buy into the sport?
Well, I don't know. That's what they've been working on for about the last 15 years because it has been steadily declining and nobody's come up with an answer. The culprit is easy to find, and that's slot machines. That the bettors don't want to wait 20 minutes in between wagers. They want to just keep pushing that button on the slot machine.
Now they have
simulcast races so that you fill the time between the card with races that they import from other tracks.
Correct.
Hey, let me throw something to you. You know, here in Southern California, we used to have three at Del Mar, Hollywood Park, and Santa Anita. Yeah. Now we only have two. I've argued all the time on radio and person to person that, you know, they don't let you in free. You're betting anyways. If they let you in free and parking is free, I think more people would go. And certainly in economic bad times, that can't hurt. I mean, it's just an idea that I've had for 20, 30 years. Your comments, Curtis Thuck.
It's free up here. I mean, parking's free. Admission is free. It's been free for probably 20 years.
See, I did not realize that. In the United States, of course, it is not. What's your favorite racetrack?
Del Mar.
Yeah, I love that.
Santa Anita.
Okay,
I love those two tracks.
How'd you feel about Hollywood Park? No longer here.
Yeah, I only went to Hollywood Park a couple of times. It wasn't in the best part of town, and it was... but it didn't compare to Santa Anita and Del Mar.
Curtis Stock,
what about the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, come on, Mark. You're stealing all my questions.
We got to go. Curtis, interesting book, fine book. If you're into horse racing at all, you'll learn more about the Turcotts than you ever thought possible. The Turcotts, remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty. Curtis Stock, the author, fine author, and you pick it up at major bookstores published by Firefly.
Fred,
Curtis,
before he goes, can he pick the Kentucky Derby for all our listeners out there?
You got anybody?
I wish I could because I don't bet favorites either, and I'm looking for a long shot. So it's
I like this guy,
but I don't know which one is going to be yet. One of those two Japanese horses.
Just don't listen to Mark, is all I can tell you. He's a little sports handicap. Curtis, stay well. Thank you for appearing on Sports Overnight America.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. I'd like to thank Curtis Stock for making an appearance. The Turcotte, the remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty. Firefly, the publisher.
What a nice man, Fred.
And a great book indeed. Art, you and I have been known to bet a shekel or two on games and things like this. Why am I not shocked that four players in the National Football League have now been suspended for wagering? Art, any comments about that?
Well, I mean, they're being sponsored by all these different, you know, MGM resorts and you know, the it's like letting Pandora out of the box. I mean, you've got gambling and sports, which at one time, not very long ago, we can go back even a decade, it said on signs outside every clubhouse in baseball, basketball, football, you know, no gambling, da 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 da. Come on, Fred. You can't, you know, go to the dance with the devil and expect not to get caught on the dance floor.
But let me ask you a good question. Yes, all the leagues are sponsored by FanDuel or DraftKings, or as you said, MGM Resorts. But still, if you're a gambler, like Pete Rose, he could have bet on the NFL. For an NFL player, you can bet on baseball. There is not a day that there isn't some sport going on outside of your sport. My point is, in October, okay, baseball is over. You can bet on football. When football is over, you can bet on basketball.
Pete Rose likes to bet on Jose Rio.
my point is, don't you think that the player, he's making money. I just don't. Okay, I can understand if you're addicted, I guess. Mark, go ahead. I don't understand.
Well,
you can bet on anything except your own sport.
Right. I understand what you're bringing up, but when I watch a basketball game, if I happen to see the highlights and I see a Draymond Green get thrown out, and as much as I like Embiid, but he doesn't get thrown out, you create a gray area. Same thing in the NFL when Ridley was thrown out of Atlanta, but you let a guy like Deshaun Watson do his thing in Houston and you give him a $230 million
guaranteed contract.
I just don't understand that if I see two things and one guy gets penalized and the other guy doesn't, I'm, you know, Pete Rose, okay, he bet on the game of baseball.
Trevor Bauer, there's so many things that are in the gray area.
It doesn't make sense, Fred. And maybe you can help me on that.
I think you can bet on any sport except your sport. I don't think it's that difficult to hope that somebody does that. I'm happy they got suspended. For Mark, for Art, for Mario, I'm Fred. Stay tuned for more of Sports Overnight America.